Like Pastor Vinod told us, there was this IDMC conference from 3rd and 4th September, and we were able to attend it, few of us, and it was a blessed time. And I really thank God for that. And like we sang today morning as we were worshiping the Lord, the things which were coming to my heart was, Lord, your grace, it's so magnificent, it's marvelous, and you are so good. You're amazing. Your grace is so amazing. And the topic there, the theme there itself was that grace and glory. That was the theme. And I would like to share something what was spoken that day, but can we first look to the Lord in prayer? Let's lift our hands up to Him and let's thank Him for His goodness. Father God, in Jesus' name, we come to your presence. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness, your mercy, your wonderful and amazing kindness in our lives, Lord. Oh Lord, the initiative which you took to and the steps which you took to humble yourself and stoop down to our level, it is really great, oh Lord. And we thank you that you are here in our midst, Father. And you want to speak to our hearts, oh Lord. You want to lift, draw us closer to you, oh Lord. And we thank you for your great love towards us, Father. And Lord, we commit ourselves to you, Father. Help us to respond to this love of yours, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So this theme, grace and glory, it's taken, it's based on the verse in Psalm 84, verse 11. Let's just look at that verse. For the Lord is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. So this was the, based on this verse, the theme was selected, which says grace and glory. And this is a theme which is so much relevant in our times, especially, of course, God is always relevant. God, from eternity to eternity, He is God, and He has always been relevant in our lives. And but especially for these times where we need to meet with Him and His grace and His glory so much more. And as we know and experience His grace to obey Him, to surrender more to Him, to walk in His ways, we begin to meet with His glory. We see His glory in our lives, in our circumstances. We manifest His glory, okay? And in our difficult times, this is the one which gives us the confidence, the assurance that God is with us. His grace is there, overflowing for us. And that's our confidence in every situation of our lives. Yeah. So and you know, based on that, what was shared were five important principles which empower us for our kingdom life in our Christian walk with God. Very five important principles. Many times we, our prayer, the desire of our heart, the cry of our heart could be, Lord, I want to walk closer with you. Lord, I want to obey you. Lord, there were situations where I wanted to obey you. I want to walk with you, but Lord, I fell, I compromised. Oh God, I'm good for nothing. Oh Lord, this, that. We may have a lot of, you know, struggles within our heart, and we may not know how to move on, and some core values were explained, on how you know how we can be empowered to walk with God in this kingdom life on this earth. So those could be called the five building blocks of kingdom living. And those five core values were, the first was truth centered upon the word of God. And in our church, there has been so much stress on the truth from the word of God. And we may already be so familiar with it, this fact, but there's no denying the fact that his truth and his word, it is our foundation. And if we build on any other foundation, we are gone. Our life is gone. You know, it will take a totally different track altogether. And in a world, in a time when there are so many philosophies, so many ideas coming which seem good to us, which seem so attractive to us, and which can be so confusing to us. So, and we may say, Lord, hey, this also seems nice. This also seems nice. Now, where do I stand? Which place, which is the stand do I, which I should take? Huh? The one comfort, the one assurance is the fact that his truth is our strong foundation. His truth never changes. And, you know, forever his word is settled in heaven and refined as in a furnace is his word. And when we take his word, you know, in its entirety, you know, that is the one which gives us stability in our heart. And that is the one which roots us, grounds us, and that's the true comfort also in our lives. So the first empowering principle for our Christian life is that we need to base our lives upon truth, based on the word, centered around the word of God. Nothing else can make us stand in this you know, shaking world. Yes. So, and the next empowering principle was community centered upon the worship of God. Sometimes we may think that, oh, now I know the Lord, I'm walking with the Lord, me and my God. Oh, God, I love you, you love me, thank you very much. And that's it, enough for me. But no, our growth and our progress in the Lord takes place because God has placed us in a family, in a you know, as a community of believers. Some time back, when Pastor Jeffy was teaching us about prayer, the prayer which Jesus taught his disciples, he was explaining how Jesus has said, "Our Father in heaven." Our Father. When we come to the Lord, we are not coming just as me, one individual. We are coming to the Lord as we are a part of a big family, a big body of Christ. Yeah. And so we need to have an awareness of that, that our life is not an individualistic life. God has created us to be interdependent. We are not supposed to be lone rangers in this Christian life. And how? When we relate to one another, as we love one another, that is the place where the Spirit of God works through our unity, and how he causes us to grow together, causes us to know God more, causes us to, you know, strengthen us to stand in his ways as well. Yeah, in Ephesians chapter 3, when Paul prays, he says, he prays for the believers that you may know the length and width and depth and height of the love of God together with all the saints. Yeah? So it's always together with all the saints. It's not that we know the Lord and we progress in his love by ourselves. No, it's always as a community. And there's a unity, and when there's a unity in our variety and it's in our differences. Like, for example, in this picture, it's just symbolic. Yeah, those ladies, they're all wearing different attire. You know, somebody as in sari, some leggings, and then salwar kurta, everything. It's different. And there is, you know, God has created us differently. Our understandings, our walk is at different levels, everything. But through that unity, God's love brings out something which is beautiful and glorious. And we need to remember that in our hearts, that we are not created to live individualistic lives, but interdependent lives. And through that unity, together as we worship the Lord, the same God, we have a same Father, and we worship Him together, His Spirit works out something which is glorious in our lives. So that's the second important empowering principle we need to remember and we need to cultivate in our lives. Yeah? And third is stewardship centered upon the will of God. And I'm sure many of us would have these things in mind, because this has been spoken in our church so many times about stewardship, the everything that God has given to us, our own life, our health, our energy, our time, our knowledge, everything, our possessions, wealth, everything. How are we using it? It all belongs to God, and God is the one who is worthy of our worship through our use according to His will. Yeah, just in that picture, if you see, God created that flower is not just living for itself, yeah, to show off its beauty. Flower is glorifying God through its beauty, and also it's giving nectar to the butterfly, and the butterfly in turn pollinates it, you know. So even the tiniest creatures which God has given, you know, God uses that for, you know, to show His glory on this earth. And how much more we who have been created in His image, and we are His highest creations in that way, and how much for His glory, how much we need to use everything that we have been given, okay? Because we have one life, and the one purpose is to glorify Him through everything that's been given. And the next empowering principle is the balance in life based on the wisdom of God. Yeah. So many times we know the truths from the Bible, we know many things, but how to apply that in our lives, when to apply that, in what manner, sometimes we can be confused, sometimes we can go to extremes. Yeah. How, and the Holy Spirit of God enables us to apply that knowledge into our practical ways. And that's called the wisdom of God. Wisdom, you know, practically applying the knowledge that we have. And true wisdom comes from God Himself. Yeah, there's a wisdom which is of the world, and James actually describes about these two wisdoms, wisdom of the world and wisdom which is from heaven. And how they are totally different. Okay, at the heart of it, the wisdom from the world is demonic because it has envy, selfish ambitions. The heart of it is demonic, but the wisdom which is heavenly, that is peaceable, willing to yield, full of good fruits. Yeah, and wisdom from the Holy Spirit enables us to navigate properly in our lives. Yeah. Just like in that picture, that in the boat, the people who have rowed a boat will know exactly where to sit so that the balance is not lost. If you sit, if you're not sitting in a proper way, the boat can topple. Yeah. Similarly, Holy Spirit enables us through His word, and we need to cultivate that, to walk in wisdom from the Lord. And that's the fourth empowering principle for our kingdom life. Otherwise, we may go into a wrong extreme. We may say, oh, God said this, God said that, I'm doing like this. But it's not, that particular aspect is not being balanced with another aspect. And the last empowering principle which was spoken was brokenness centered upon the way of God. And I think I need not explain what brokenness means, because we have all gone through it. And we face troubles. For some, it is to a lesser degree. For some, it's to a greater degree. And we all have known what brokenness means. But through that brokenness, God brings out a beauty and a glory, which is amazing. But in those times, our response and our heart attitudes, it matters a lot. Yeah. So these are the five empowering principles. So the like I said, the word of God enables us to center our life on truth. The worship of God enables us to center our lives together in unity. And knowledge of the will of God enables us to be good stewards of everything that he has given to us. And the wisdom of God helps us to navigate in a balanced way our life. And the way of God enables us to, in our times of brokenness, to really meet with God during those times. So today I would like to share more regarding brokenness, and it's from Psalm 10. Like I shared earlier, we have all gone through painful situations, frustrating situations, troubling situations, disappointing situations. Now, it can be anything starting from our daily lives. Oh, my spouse doesn't understand. Children, they are so disobedient. They're so uncaring. And the children may say, oh, the school is too much. Oh, and too much of Zoom classes, too much of this. And somebody else may say, oh, that person cheated me. This person deceived me. He gave me a fake promise. And I believed that. He broke my trust. And then somebody else may say, oh, my wealth was stolen. Or my employer, he's too unreasonable. So many things happen, and we pass through painful situations. And from a wider perspective, whole world is now going through this pandemic and the effects of that. It's too painful. But God, our God, our loving, gracious, merciful, kind God, he is calling us to himself and showing us the proper way of responding and having a godly attitude during these times. And that is the way, when we embrace those values, we grow in the Lord. Psalm 10, verse 1 says, why, O Lord, do you stand far away? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? Now, this can be some responses of ours, where when we face trouble, immediately ask, why? Why, God? Why, God? And other thing is, God, I can't feel your presence. God, where are you? God, have you left me? Have you abandoned me? Have you forgotten me? I can't. Where are you? Like we grope in the darkness. We may go through these feelings. We may go through these thoughts, and such a cry may come out of our heart. Beautiful thing here is that the psalmist asks the Lord. He goes to the Lord and asks, why are you? He's experiencing something as if, you know, God is absent, God is not there. But even in that time, the beautiful thing is he's asking God, Lord, why are you hiding? It's not that he has come to some conclusion and saying, God, he has abandoned me. Now I'm all left alone to handle myself. No. So this is a beautiful thing. But when he is in trouble, he's also remembering the worldviews of the wicked people. And three worldviews have been explained here. He say, you know, there's so much wickedness around, so much wicked people around. And you know what the wicked are thinking? Wicked, in verse 3 it says, for the wicked boasts of the desire of his soul, and the one greedy for gain curses and renounces the Lord. So wicked renounce the Lord. Yeah? And they said, fool, and in Psalm 14 it says, the fool says there is no God. So we may be having a lot of atheist friends or relatives, and somehow in the arrogance they may say, oh, there's no God, I know better. But Bible says such people are fools. Okay? And so that's the first worldview. And the second worldview is in verse 6. Verse 11. Yeah. He says in his heart, God has forgotten. He has hidden his face. He will never see it. He will never see what? When you see the verses above, you know, God will never see my wickedness. Okay? God has hidden his face. God has forgotten. You know, I can get away with it. So that's the second view of the wicked. And then there's a third view of the wicked, which says in verse 13, it says, why does the wicked renounce God and say in his heart, you will not call to account? Oh, God, there's first of all, there's no God. That's one view, okay, in the arrogance. And the second view, okay, God doesn't see. God has hidden his face. He's forgotten. Yeah? Even if I do unrighteous, unjust acts, God's not going to see, and he's not going to give justice to the oppressed, so no problem. And third, he is not going to take an account from me. So that's the worldview of the wicked people. And many times, we get so influenced by this that when we pass through troubles, when we pass through pains, you know, all these things can flood our mind as well. We may say, oh, I'm going through so much pain. I'm going through so much disappointment, so much frustration, this, that. And then we say, okay, so that means there's no God. Or we may say, oh, God does not see, he doesn't care. See, there's so much problem, so much oppression, injustice. God doesn't see, God doesn't care. Or, you know, we may also think God doesn't take into account. God doesn't ask for an accountability. You know, recently what happened was I am in a WhatsApp group of friends who are non-believers, and they have studied with me in my college. So there was a discussion regarding the topic of abortion. There were heated debates, arguments. So I was trying to bring forth my point and say, no, God has the right to give life and take life. And there were a lot of arguments and, you know, going back and forth. And finally I said, at the end of the day, finally, we all have to give an account to God. That is the thing. And then another friend wrote, Shanti, I'm an atheist, so I would like to put it this way. We all have to give an account to ourselves. And few of the friends put thumbs up for that. And then I thought, my God, of course there's an accountability towards our conscience, but what about accountability to other human beings, to our human authorities? And ultimately, what about our accountability to God? Where is it? Yeah? And it's such a dangerous thing to think that we don't have to give an account. Yeah, it is very, very dangerous. When we think about the Lord's judgment, it is scary as well. So these are the three views of, you know, the worldview, you know, when people are not walking with God. And they may say, there's no God. Or they may say, he doesn't care, he has forgotten. Or he may say, no, God doesn't take an account from us. So we can do whatever we want. It's okay. No, but it's not okay. And in the psalmist, when he's going through so much trouble, he's seeing so much wickedness around, he has a godly response. And that godly response is the one which we need to have. And when look at the psalmist, he has a godly attitude. So, Joanna, can you see, show the slide next to this? So when we face troubles, we need to remember two things. Our heart attitude before God, it matters. Our response before God, it matters. We can't just get away with whatever we feel, we say whatever we want, we do whatever we want. We can't get away with that. Many times we don't include God into our circumstances. We just don't think about God during that time. Okay, God is there. We don't think. We just are so involved in our thoughts. We try to figure it out ourselves. We try to analyze like the people of the world. And then we may come to conclusions like this. We just don't, may not think of involving God in our thoughts. Yeah? But how do we get empowered? Our God is a God of grace who empowers us in every situation of our lives. Our God is a God of glory, and when we meet with Him more and more, through every trouble, you know, we see Him. And that was what happened to Job. So when we look at Psalm 10, we see, Joanna, can you please put the previous slide? We see the godly perspective. In verse 16, it says, "The Lord is King forever and ever." Ungodly man says, "There's no God." Hey, he renounces God. But the truth is, and our godly attitude and response, that God exists, God is there. It's not just that, okay, God is there, some chota God. No, He is King forever and ever. He rules and reigns. Every circumstance which is beyond my control, it's never beyond His control. He is the one who is above everything. He is the one who is sovereign, ruling over every situation. And He knows how to work out His plans and His purposes in those very circumstances which we think have gone out of control. So we can rest on this God and the goodness of this God, and we can totally trust Him, and we need not go around trying to manipulate people, control people, trying to run away from circumstances. No, in the rest of the Lord, that He is the King and He rules and reigns, and there is no one who can match His power, His glory, and His purposes. And you know, that is the one attitude and perspective which and response which we need to have, which will empower us in our times of trouble. And the second thing is also the exact opposite of what the wicked person thinks. It's in verse 17. It says, "O Lord, You hear the desire of the afflicted. You will strengthen their heart. You will incline Your ear." The wicked says, "Oh, God has forgotten. God doesn't see." Yeah? And sometimes we also adopt that view. But no, God's there. He's the King forever and ever. And He's a very caring God. He's a kind God. He hears the plea of the afflicted. He sees our heart. He sees our needs. He answers us. Oh, He is a God who is very near to us. He doesn't, it's not a God who abandons us. Okay, you take care of yourself. I'm going. No, He's our refuge. He's our strength. He's our very present help in time of our trouble. He cares for us. And that is the one, another truth which we need to hold on to in times of our pain, in times of our anguish, in times of our frustration. The truth that He's there, He hears, and He cares. And verse 18, it's also the exact opposite of what the wicked person thinks. To vindicate the orphan and the oppressed, so that man who is of the earth will no longer cause terror. Okay? So He's a God of justice and righteousness. When we see wickedness around, we can lose hope. We can go into a state of helplessness, hopelessness. In Hindi we say, oh, kya kiya jaye? Huh? What to do? It is like this. No. In Ecclesiastes it says, the wicked may keep on doing wickedness, but remember, God is there, he sees, and he will bring an end to all this. So that is the confidence which we need to root our lives on, our heart on. He is a just God. He will take into account. And we need not have all the answers to all the questions, but our God is our answer to during every time of trouble, frustration, hopelessness, disappointment, despair, everything that we go through. God is the answer. And when we hold on to him, when we focus on him rather than the circumstances, his grace flows to us. And also our attitude of humble surrender before him and saying, God, I am trying to take control. I am trying to change the circumstances, my situations. I am trying to run out. I am trying to manipulate this, that. But Lord, I come to you in a state of brokenness. I humble myself and I accept this situation as which you have allowed in my life. You have allowed it and I accept this from you, O Lord. And Lord, I gladly, humbly, willingly surrender myself to you for your work in my heart and my life, Lord, to change me. And as we do that, as we come to a place of humble surrender and say, God, you are sovereign. You reign and rule above everything. I'm not the one who's in control. That response is so precious because through that response, the grace, the power of God flows in our situation. Yeah. With all our tears, with all everything, as we come to Lord in humble surrender and say, God, I, like Job said, shall we not accept adversity as from the Lord? And we come to a place of surrender and say, God, you are sovereign. You are reigning. You know what is happening. And I surrender myself to you, before you, to continue to hold on to you, your promises and your ways, and I will move forward. And then his power flows, his grace flows. We meet with the glory of God. We meet with goodness of God. We begin to know how merciful he is more and more. And that is the one which is most precious, most valuable gem to get during our troublesome times. When Job went through the different situations, we see him humbling himself before the sovereignty of God and saying, naked I come to this earth and naked I go. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Yeah. And in James chapter 5, verse 3, there's a very beautiful verse where it talks about the endurance of Job and how the ultimate end intended. It's very interesting, but one minute. Where is that? Can somebody help me with that verse?
Yeah. Your gold and your silver have
rusted. No. You know the ultimate outcome, James chapter 3, James 5:11, okay, yeah. But we consider those blessed who remain steadfast, okay? So it talks about, as we read verse 10, it says, as an example of suffering and patience, brothers, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Behold, we consider those blessed who remain steadfast. You have heard of the steadfastness of Job, and you have seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful. So through all those dealings, the ultimate thing which comes out is not that, okay, Job's possessions were restored, wealth was restored, his children, he got buried beautiful daughters. Of course, that was there, praise God. He restored everything. But beyond that, to know the Lord is compassionate and merciful through all that he went through, that the purpose of God as he reveals himself. And that is amazing. And God is calling all of us to that place where, to come closer to me. Come and know me. Come to in your places of brokenness. Place yourself in my ways of a proper heart attitude and a proper response to God. And when you do that, my grace will flow into your lives. My power will flow. And I will reveal myself before you. And God will create a longing in our hearts to worship him more and more through this. And that is the best thing that can happen in our lives. Not just that the situations change, circumstances change. Yeah, that is good. God changes that. But the best thing that can happen in our lives is we know him more and more. And a thirst for him arises in our hearts to walk with him more, to worship him more. And he is the one who works that out through our troubles and our broken places. But our response and our attitudes need to be centered in his ways. So praise God. And I would ask Pastor Vinod to conclude and please lead us in a response to prayer.
The conference was, and the connection between grace and glory is that it is through his grace that we gain his glory. You see, we don't even know how to define glory properly, isn't it? So we have all kinds of pictures about glory. But we need to really understand that what we lost, we get it back. There's a verse in Romans that says, we have all fallen short of the glory of God. But remember, that same very phrase is being taught back by Paul in Thessalonians, where it says, for we gain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So actually, what are we gaining? I just want to stress on the theme. I just want to stress on the theme, not on the each topic that was taught. So I'll just highlight a few things on the theme, and then we will pray and close. You see, grace and glory. Now, what is it that we gain? What is this glory that we are supposed to receive? Here we are mere human beings, and sometimes we sort of resist this thing. I don't want to be noticed. I don't want to be well known, or I don't want. So many things in our lives, we don't progress. We don't take it up because we are scared. We don't really understand the journey and the purposes of God. What does it mean for God to say, I want you to get back the glory that you lost? You see, what an amazing thought to have, isn't it? Something that we lost, something that was beautiful that we lost in the Garden of Eden. And I don't think glory is something that some halo around our head, like we have this kind of pictures or some light from heaven. What is it? What did we lose that we are getting back through Jesus Christ? And of course, the things that Shanti shared was all things that we need to work out in our lives so that we regain this glory. It doesn't fall on us just like that. We have to work all these things out, our worship of God, our brokenness, and the truth of God's word. All these things should build up something in our lives so that we regain this glory. And you see, this to regain this glory is something very awesome, you see, because we don't even understand it, that it is not just for us to get it back in heaven. That's the most interesting part. We regain His glory even while we are here on earth. Paul is very clear. When Christ prayed that prayer, the glory which you gave to me, I have given to them. What did he mean by that? The glory which you gave to me, I have given to them. So what is this glory that we are talking about here? What? How do we manifest it? How does it show forth? You see, I really don't have the answers. I'm just putting it across to you. What is this glory all about? See, we can talk so much on, surrender. And I think that's very, very important to talk on surrender, because surrender is the key to receiving from God. But let me ask you this question. What does surrender give to you? If you keep on thinking in your lives, all your life, I've surrendered all, what did you get when you surrendered all? So if we have nothing to say regarding that, then I think we're a poor Christian. We can boast so much in our surrender and forget to realize that that surrender is giving something to us. We are gaining something. You see, so along with a surrendered heart, I believe we should also, rejoice in a sanctified heart, a heart that is being built up. That we need to have a testimony of the things that God is doing, and that is what grace and glory is all about. You see, if we can actually, utterly boast in Jesus, if we can come to a place where we are so boasting in what Jesus Christ can do, I tell you, there would be so much glory being revealed. You see, because He is our life. He is the one who does something wonderful. And He will not just look at a surrendered heart and say, okay, fine, great, I accept it, good, go. You see, a surrendered heart is a heart through which God is pouring out His grace and pouring out His glory. And there is something that will be seen. We don't even know what it is, but the world will realize it. You see, the world will understand there is something different about this person. I want to challenge you this morning just by a simple thought. Are you walking in the glory of God? Some of you are 5, 10, 15 years, or 20, 25 years in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, what did you gain out of your surrender? Are you boasting only about your surrender? Why surrender all? The song they can sing all our lives. Well, yes, we need that song all our lives. Jesus Christ, even in the Garden of Gethsemane, had to say, not my will, but yours be done. But let me ask you this question. What have you gained through your surrender? Look at the life of Jesus. On one side, He was full of surrender. On the other side, He was full of the glory of God. Wherever He went, something happened. See, that's the beauty of Christianity. Beauty of Christianity is not just that we show the world that we are surrendered to God. The beauty of Christianity is Christ being revealed in us. We are gaining His glory. The last sermon that was presented there, the pastor K. Kyung said a very humorous way. He said, IGGFGG. He likes to use all these kinds of shortcuts. He says, IGGFGG, in God's grace, for God's glory. So I challenge all of us sitting here today, what do we have to show? What is it through all these building blocks? What is really happening? Before this building was being built, people would have looked at this building and said, it doesn't look beautiful because it was still being built. But slowly, as everything began to come up, the beauty began to be seen more and more, my dear friends. And finally, when everything was over, when the painting was done, it seemed so beautiful. Can people look into our lives and say, well, I can see there is something that he has that I don't have. You see, we can show forth so many things. We can show forth our money. We can show forth our possessions. You are singing a song also? Wonderful. Yeah, sure. We can show forth our possessions. We can show forth so many things that we have. Power. Sometimes the church is confused as to what it has to show. We have this mandates, mountain mandates and so many things, which may be good in itself, but ultimately what are we revealing to the world? Are we showing that we can become a great politician? Are we showing that we can become a very rich man? Are we showing that we can be a very, powerful person? What are we really showing to the world outside? What do we really want to show? Please, we have to ask ourselves this question. What is this glory all about? What is this glory that God wants us to show forth through His grace? All right? So we'll close here. I just want to quickly do the announcements, and then we will have the offering, and we can maybe sing the song for the offering time, maybe. So we want to once again welcome all of you, and do pray for the programs that we have in the church, all the life groups, and we really want to progress in our journey, the church. We are planning to have next Sunday, we plan to have just a meeting of those who are given their names for serving the society, because we want to just sit and talk about how can we be effective, more effective in serving others through our church, through what God has given us. So do pray for that. We have got Proclaimers meeting going on. We started a meeting for our village pastors, village missionaries, and that started last week. We also have Proclaimers board meeting today, afternoon, 2 p.m. Do pray for that as well. Nikki is here? Okay, yeah. So today at 2 p.m., what's the time, Nikki? 4 p.m. we have the board meeting, as well as executive board, as well as trustees meeting together. Nikki's brother, Jerome, has come from the UK, and he will be heading the meeting. We also plan to go to Chinchipada in the month of November. We are planning out the dates to pray for that also. It will be a very effective time to bless the ministry there in Chinchipada, where the hospital is a great source of blessing to so many people in the whole area. Chinchipada Christian Hospital is a great light in that whole place. Do pray for the ministry that we want to do among the staff. I don't think we have any much more announcements to make. We will have the birthday list on the screen. All right, today we have Becky Nainan, Naina Chan's daughter, who is now in the UK. She's studying for psychology. We have Joyce Sanu Matthew. She just joined our church recently. Sanu Matthew is a missionary who is from Madhya Pradesh, and his wife is Joyce. Today is her birthday. Kripa T, I think this must be Hari's daughter. Or is it Adha Kripa from Paripalli? I'm not sure. All right. September 14th, we have Judah Tito in Australia. And September 15th, we have Nicholas H. Pereira. All right. I don't know what his age is, by the way. He doesn't want to tell us his age. September 16th, we have Joel Wilson. Wilson has two sons have just the birthdays next to each other. They are both now in Karnapoli. They may be here on Sunday next week. They are in charam mood. September 16th, we have Joel and Manna, Mary Santosh as well. We have another birthday on Naomi Nicholas also. Wow. All family birthdays happening. All right. And finally, we have Peter Joseph on the 18th, also a new member of our church. Susmita's husband. One wedding anniversary, Reggie and Judita in Australia. So we'll have this song and we have the offering. And remember, if you forgot to put your proclamation offering last week, you can just put it in the cover. Just put it with the name or your name there and put their proclaimer's offering on the cover. Write it down. Please don't forget to write proclaimer's offering. Put it in the box. But if not, there's also the church offering here. Let's listen to this song that we have, and then let's, if we we'll close in prayer, please.
These praises from a grave.